We're holding on Ayin Dalad Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Malva Adam Es Arisav Chitin B'Chitin. A person can lend out to his Arisim, who are going to be working his field and getting a percentage of the crops, he can lend them a certain amount of wheat with the understanding that they're going to return him the same amount of wheat. This is what we've been calling throughout the parak Sah B'Sah, where he's lending them a Sah and he's going to get back a Sah, and that's fine, even though the price is, now normally we said it's not allowed, and we're going to talk about that in the next Mishnah, because of the problem that the price may go up in between. But here he's allowed to, Lazera, where he's doing it, he's lending them the seeds in order that they're going to use them to plant the field. And that's fine. So as we'll see in the Gemara, why? Avaloi lecho, but not where he's lending them the, not where he's lending them the seeds in order to eat. Where they need the seeds in order to, for food, then not. And the Mishnah continues. Shahoyer Rav Gamliel, now Shahoyer Rav Gamliel, Malva, as a res of chitin, bechitin lazera beyoker. Now, Rav Gamliel used to be machmir on himself. He would lend his arisim wheat with the understanding that they're going to pay back wheat. And he would do lazera when he's doing it for them to plant. But the yoker v'huzlu or the zero v'huku. Now, what would happen is whether when he lent them the wheat, the wheat was worth more, and by the time they're paying back, it was worth less, or the other way around, or the zero v'huku, or when it was worth less when he lent it to them and more when they paid it back. Either way, noto mehen kashar hazero. He would get from them the wheat back, and so he would get the wheat back from them according to the cheaper price. In other words, in effect, what he would do is he would say that if the price went up, then he would still take from them only the smaller amount. So he was machmir on himself both ways. So if the price went down, in other words, say for example, he had lent them a saw, and at the time it was worth 2 sloyim. The Maharam Shif gives this illustration. Later on, now wheat is worth only a sela, so then he would take from them only a sela, even though now it's worth only half as much as it was before. And if the other way around, where now it's worth twice as much as it was before, then he would get back from them only a half a saw, as though what he had lent them was a sela, rather than, because at the time wheat was going for 1 saw per sela, so he would only, because now wheat is going for a saw for 2 sela, then he would take from them only half a saw, which is equal to 1 sela. So he was machmir on himself in both directions. So the Mishnah has to tell us, you would think that wasn't a chumrah, but maybe that was a halacha. So no, lo mitnesha halacha kain. It's not that the halacha really is like that. Ela shirotza lahachmir on atzmo, Rav Gamliel wanted to be machmir on himself. So the Mishnah needs to stress that you should realize that this is not the halacha. La halacha, he would have been perfectly allowed to get the saw back from them, whether it went up and down in price. So to use this example, he had lent them the saw when it was worth only 1 sela, and now 1 saw is worth 2 sela. La halacha, he would have been allowed to get back a complete sela from them, even though it's worth twice as much. But he was machmir on himself. But that was only a chumra. He wasn't required to do that. Now, what's the difference between whether they're borrowing it in order to plant the field or in order to eat it? So that now the Gemara is going to say, Tanan Abanan, Malva Odom Es Arisav Chitim B'Chitim Lazera. A person can lend out to his Arisim wheat in return for wheat where they're borrowing it in order to plant the field. And the Braisa says, B'Med Varam Amurim, Shalo Yora. When does that apply? Only when the Oris had not yet started to work the field. Avo Yorad also, but if he already started to work the field, also then it would be also to lend him chitim b'chitim, to lend him a certain amount of wheat, and the understanding is he's going to pay back that exact amount, even if the price of wheat goes up, as the Gemara is going to explain why. So first we have to ask, Mishnatani didan deloka maflig ben yorad ven lo yorad. Why in our Mishnah, a Tana didan means our Tana, which means the Tana of our Mishnah. The Mishnayos are called our. Because all the Amoraim learned them. And he doesn't distinguish between whether the Oris had already started work on the field or not. Or Maishna Tana Bara versus the Tana of the Braisa, the Kamasik Ben Yorad or Ben La Yorad, where he's making that distinction. Now, the Ritva points out, it's not really a question, per se, because you could say a Braisa often does that. A Braisa will give more details than the Mishnah. This is really more the Gemara's style of introducing the point, which is now we're going to understand the difference between the case in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, and that will also show for us then what's the difference between whether they're borrowing the wheat in order to plant versus in order to eat. So Omar Rava, Rav Idi Azbara Niyali. So Rava says, Rav Idi explained it to me as follows. Ba'asra the Tana Didan, in the place where the Tana of our Mishnah lived, Arisa Yohi Bizra. The minhag was that the Oris was the one who was supposed to be providing the seeds to plant the field. In other words, so you have, I have a field, I'm hiring you as an Oris to plant and then and plow and whatever and then manage the field. Part of that is we need seeds for the purpose. Who's supplying the seeds? In the place of the Tana of our Mishnah, it was the Oris's job to do that. Therefore, Vein Yorad, Vein Lo Yorad, so whether he actually started work on the field, so Kama de la Yohib Bizra, as long as he is not yet, as long as he is not yet given the seeds, Motsim Salik lay, then the owner of the field could fire him because, he hasn't yet, even though he already started, let's say, plowing the field, still, the Balabas could tell him, you know what, you don't have any seeds available, so therefore, what good are you as an Oris? I'm not going to have a crop now unless you provide seeds. So therefore, therefore, the understanding is when he actually goes there, so when the owner of the field is saying, you know what, fine, you don't have seeds, I'll lend you some, and you're gonna give me back later, it's not really actually that he's lending them. When the Oris is going in and gonna work on the field from now on, it means that he's agreeing now he's gonna get less. He's going to get less of a percentage than most Orisim. In other words, what we're going to do is that we're going to say, normally you as an artist would be entitled, let's say, to one third. Now, once we figure out at the end of the season, then we're going to take that one third and we're going to deduct from it the amount that I gave you to begin with. So it's really more, so it's not so much a loan, it's more that we make the condition to begin with this way, that your amount is going to be less than that of the regular Orisim, because the Oris is still going to get most of his percentage, but he's going to get somewhat less because the Balabas is going to get the amount that he laid out to begin with for the seeds. So now we also understand in our Mishnah then why it is that if the Oris is borrowing the wheat in order to make into food for his family, then that's different. Then we don't have any such consideration because then we can't say that, then we have to say it really is alva because then it has nothing to do with that I laid out seeds for you to be able to do your job. So that's in our Mishnah. So that explains why in our Mishnah it doesn't mention whether the Oris had started the job or not, because in the way things were arranged in the place of the Tana of our Mishnah, it doesn't really matter as long as, even if the Oris already started the plowing until he provides the seeds, which is supposed to be his responsibility, then the agreement of Arisos has not yet kicked in. But the Asur the Tana Bora, but in the place of the Tana of the Braisa, Mori Ara Yari Bizra. The usual practice was that the owner of the field was the one who was expected to supply the seeds. So Ila Yorad, so only if the artist had not actually begun the work yet at all, including the plowing and whatever else, the preparation before the planting, at that point, Demotsi is Salikley. Only at that point can the owner fire him because the Arisos hasn't begun yet. So therefore, they can make whatever conditions they want. And therefore, again, we can say kikarnachis lebotzim mehachi karnachis. And you can say, therefore, again, that if at that point the owner advances, if at that point the owner advances him the seeds for planting, then we can say that fine, that's before the arisus even began. So it's not a loan; it's rather a condition, it's a precondition. You're going to be an artist, and you're going for me for this season, and you're going to accept less less of a payment for the arisus because I'm having to lay out the seeds of a year. But in the case of the braisa, if the oris already began the work, he already began plowing, for example, and again, the balabas over here is supposed to be supplying the seeds, delemotzi misalikle. At that point, the balabas can't fire him as an oris because he already started the work and he's entitled to be able to keep that job for the season. So therefore, also now at that point, the owner would not be able to lend him the seeds in order to plant, because now you have a problem that now if he lends him a saw and he's going to get paid back a saw later on when the prices have gone up, then you have a real halva, and then you have the problem of lending saw the saw and then getting back more than you lent. So that's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and that also explains actually then why it is that the Mishnah itself is distinguishing between whether he gave it to him to eat versus to plant, because the whole point is we're saying that if he gives it to him to plant, then it amounts to a precondition on how you're going to be, on how your arisus is going to work this year rather than a true loan. What would be the difference, by the way, Rashi says, why it is that in some places they would do it one way and some the other way? So Rashi points out, so the factor who it is that provides the seeds, okay, yes, different places, different minhagim in different places, but in this case, according to the braisa, usually the owner of the field is the one who supplies the seeds. Rashi points out that here, this particular balabas had an extra good field. So therefore, instead, why should I have to supply the seeds, the artist should have to supply them, because after all, this is a very good quality field, and the artist is going to get, when he gets his percentage, it's going to be much more than most arisim and most other fields get, because it's going to be such a large crop. So therefore, he figures that he's going to impose on the artist to supply the seed. So again, if he made that arrangement before the artist began the work, then fine, it's not a halva. But once he already began the work, then it becomes a halva, because you can't say that now he's changing the terms of the arisos, and therefore it's a halva, and therefore we have the problem of sabisa. Okay. The Gemara says, Tananabanan. Oimer Odom Machaveri, now in this connection, a person is able to say to somebody else, Halveni Kur Chitin, lend me a kur of wheat, the Koitz Loidomim, and he figures out the amount of how much it's worth. So he says that right now the wheat is worth, so what we say is, for example, I'm going to lend me a quart of wheat. Right now the price of a quart of wheat is $100. So based on that, I'm going to owe you $100. And now the din will be, if now the price of wheat goes down, then he gives him back the quart of wheat rather than giving him $1,000. Rather than giving him $1,000 worth of wheat, he gives him a quart, which is the same amount that he got. And if the price of wheat goes up, then he gives him $1,000, even though now $100, whatever, even though the hundred will buy less than it do, will buy less than it did before. So the Gemara asks, wait, how like Kotzatz? Didn't we say that he established him a value of money? So that means, in other words, the guy is going to get back his $100 as well. Why should he? Why in the case where the price went down, why is he allowed to say, I'm going to give you back a quart of wheat, even though a quart of wheat is worth now only $90 instead of $100? Why shouldn't he be required to pay him back the $100? Rav Sheshes Hachikama. So Rav Sheshes says, you're right. If Kotzatz Loi Domim, as the Braisa said, then you're right. Either way, he has to return him $100. What it means is, im loy kotzatz, if they did not establish a value, he just told them that I'm going to give you back the same amount of wheat, then huzlu noitel aschitav. So now, if wheat goes down, he can't give him more wheat, because then that would be a problem of ribis. Then he got from him a quart of wheat, and he's going to give him back more than a quart back. That would be a problem of ribis. So instead, he would give him the same amount of wheat. Hukru, but if the price goes up, then he can't give him the same amount of wheat, because then you have the problem of sabisa, no sin to mayhem, then he gives him the value. So if kotzatz, in other words, basically, the point is, the Altadeva makes the point, if kotzatz, then in effect what we're saying is, he didn't lend him a quart of wheat, in effect he lent him $100. Well, very well. Then he pays him back $100 no matter what. But if loy kotzatz, as Rav Sheshes is saying, then you'd have the problem of sub is sub. If the price goes up, therefore the maximum he can, therefore he's going to pay him $100 or a quart of wheat, whichever is less. Okay. Mishnah says, lo yema odim lachavere halveni kurchitim. A person cannot say to somebody else, lend me a quart of wheat, v'ani etn l'chol l'gorden, and here's the sabasa issue, where he's saying, you lend me a quart of wheat, and I will return you a quart at the time of the granary, meaning after we thresh the grain or whatever, because again, the price may go up. Tosfos points out, it's not normal for it to go up at that time. Usually you would expect the price would stay stable or even go down because now you have more of a supply available. Nevertheless, though, you still have the concern that the price might go up. And then again, you have this problem. He's lending him a saw, which is worth X amount, and he's returning him a saw when that same saw is worth more, and then you have a problem of ribs. Now there are Rishonim who say that maybe it would only be an Isser only if he says to begin with, I'll return you a saw. If he were to just lend him a saw, then we would say only if the price goes up, then you have an issue that he can't pay him back the full saw. But if the price doesn't go up, then he would be allowed to, because only if they arranged at the time when he said, I'm borrowing a saw and I will pay you back a saw. So the Ritva says that actually, that if he were to just lend him a saw without saying one way or the other, then it might not be a problem. And the Taz says the same thing, that would be mutter. Anyway. Avol oimaloi, but the loiva can say, what if the loiva does have wheat available, he just can't get to it right now, so we've had this case a few times already. Oimaloi, you can tell him, halveni abshu yovidni, ayabshu emtsa makteach. Lend me the wheat until my son comes, because my son has the key, or until I find the key, because that's yesh loy, and that's the case that we've said before, that you're allowed. So we've said, we've talked about yesh loy in connection with buying and selling, where you're buying. We talked about in earlier Mishnayos about paying in advance for wheat or for whatever commodity. And where you're allowed to pay in advance and get the goods later on, even if they go up in price. When yesh loy, so that was in connection with nekach memker, but now we're saying the same thing would apply also as far as an actual halva that you'd be allowed to, as long as yesh loy, he actually has it, because again, it means that he has it right now. And therefore, the fact he can't get to it at this moment because he doesn't have the key or whatever. But the point is that therefore it's not considered ribis, because in principle he would be able to pay back right now, before the prices go up. The Hillel, now the Mishnah continues, the Hillel Oyser, Hillel on the other hand says it's Oser. Interesting question of who this Hillel is. Maratz Chayes points out, usually we say that in the times of Hillel, the Hillel HaZaken, that is, there wasn't really prevalent machlokas yet. You have only a couple of cases where Hillel argued with Shammai and they themselves with all the Chachamim of their generation. And this doesn't seem to be one of them. So he discusses maybe this is Hillel, the son of Rav Gamliel, a couple of generations later, but then he says maybe not necessarily. We find after all with Korach, where Hillel argued with the other Chachamim about how we eat matzah and maror, about how we eat Pesach matzah and maror on Pesach night, and there evidently it has to be Hillel HaZaken, because only he lived in the time of the Beis Mikdash. The later Hillel lived already after the Korban. So therefore he says maybe over here also maybe it does actually mean Hillel HaZaken. Anyway, so Hillel says it's Osir, even by Yesh Loi, that Hillel would still say it's Osir. So he may agree with the Yesh Loi when it comes to Nekach HaMemker, in the cases that we had in previous Mishnayos about, for example, paying in advance for the goods, where they were different because they and the other guy could supply them right now, but Hillel at any rate would say here it's Osir when it's a Halvah. In fact, Hillel said a further chumra, Latalva Isha Kikar Lachavata, a woman is not even allowed to lend out a loaf of bread to her neighbor, Adshataser Domim, until she figures out the value of it. Because again, Shemu Yukru Chitin, because otherwise the price of wheat may go up in between, Venimtsu Boris the day Ribis, and then you're going to have a problem of Ribis, that she's paying her back a loaf that's worth more than what she borrowed. So Hillel would say that's also as well. Whereas the Chachamim disagree with that, and they say that, first of all, they say, well, Yeshloy, it's not a problem. Hillel was saying that even Yeshloy is a problem. But besides that, also, when it's a small amount and people are not makbid on such things, then the Chachamim wouldn't have a problem with it. You borrowed a loaf of bread. You're paying back a loaf of bread. Nobody really cares whether it's worth a few cents more now than it was then. But Hillel says that even such a thing is a concern. So the Gemara says, Omer Avuna. Now, when the Mishnah is saying that you can borrow saw b'sa when you have it in your house, again, when we said that I have it in my house, I just can't get to it right now because I don't have access to the key. So Rav Huna says, Yesh loy sa loy b'sa, that he can only borrow as much as he actually has in his possession. So if he has a saw, then yes, he can borrow a saw and not have to worry about the fact that the prices will go up because he does have a saw available right now, and therefore yeshloi. Sasayim, loiva sasayim, if he has two saw, he can borrow two saw. But he can't borrow any more than what he actually has on hand right now. Part of the point is also because when he has it in his possession right now, he may not be able to get to it right now because he doesn't have the key, but he's at least able to be machnet to the other guy. He can be machnet. He can be machnet with kinyan chotzer or with whatever. And therefore, it's considered that it belongs to the other person right now. But Rav Huna is saying he can't. For example, if he has one saw, how can he borrow two saw? You can't say he's machnet to him two saw. He doesn't have two saw right now. Therefore, Rav Huna says that would be a problem of saw to saw. On the other hand, Rav Yitzchok says no. Afilu yeshlei saw loyvela kamakurim. Because even Rabbi Yitzchok says that no, even if he has only one saw, he could still use that as a basis to borrow many kurim of grain on it, and then not have a problem that later on, when he pays back, the wheat is going to have gone up in price. Because so Rashi explains that the actual saw that he has at home has not in fact yet been acquired by the Malva. The loiva, after all, would be allowed to eat the grain that he has right now, the one saw that he has, where he could sell it to somebody else. So in other words, it comes out that, so basically you could say, I borrowed from you one saw. Now that saw is available. I could conceivably return it to you. I could conceivably return it to you right now, or instead I could return you the one saw that I have at home and then use that as a basis for borrowing another saw and so on and so forth. So therefore, Rabbi Yitzchok is saying, that each one, when you're borrowing each individual saw, so you have the ability on that basis to borrow another saw because you're saying, good, now I have a saw in my possession. It's fully mine. After all, that's how a halval works. You borrow something, and now it's yours to do with whatever you want. So therefore, I could use that to pay you back, and then I could borrow another saw, and so on and so forth. So Rabbi Yitzchok is saying that would work out. Tosfos brings that the Rivan says that in that case, then still, he might taka only be able to borrow one saw at a time. He might be able to say, look, I need a kur. A kur consists of 30 saw, so lend me a saw, then lend me another saw, then lend me another saw, and so forth. According to Rabbi Yitzchok, that might be necessary. Otherwise, again, you have the problem that how could he say, lend me a kur and say, I only have a saw available right now. The fact is, a saw is not enough to pay back a kur. On the other hand, then Tosfos says even the Rivan would say that fine. You could say give me the kur as a lump sum and then just say that I'm going to be koina one after the other. Then Tosfos says miunira. Tosfos says that no, you don't really have to be medactic. You're allowed, according to the Yitzchok, you would actually be able to get the whole thing as a lump sum and not even have to say we're going to do it a saw by a saw at a time or a drop at a time. It would work, according to the Yitzchok, even to say, for example, once I have one saw in my possession, then yes, you can, then I can borrow from you a full kur, and we can have all at once that you're measuring out the kur for me, and I'm koine it all at once, and that would still work, according to the Yitzchok, because again, we can break it up, and we can say that it consists of individual saws where each one he can use the one that he has as payment for the previous one. So that's what Rabbi Yitzchok says. Tani Rabbi Chiya, let's say you're a little Rabbi Yitzchok. And in fact, Rabbi Chiya teaches a b'raisa which supports what Rabbi Yitzchak says, where tipas yayin ein loy, that it's only usur where he's borrowing wine and he's going to pay back with the same amount of wine later on, is only a problem if he doesn't even have a drop of wine. Tipas shemen ein loy, or the same way, if he's borrowing oil, that it's a problem only if he's borrowing oil and has no oil at all. But the implication of the Braise is that if he does have loiva la kama tipin, then he can borrow even many drops of wine or oil based on that, and if not considered sabasa, because again we could say that each drop could be used to pay off the previous one, and therefore you don't have the problem of sabasa. Rather, we say it's yeshloi, he does have what to pay back, at least piecemeal, and therefore that's good enough. So now you do actually have a machlokas rishonim in this, whether the din of this braisa is going to apply even to a halva, or maybe it applies only to mekach or memfer. Maybe it applies only to like the case at the beginning of the perek where we said that a person owes somebody else X amount of money, and he's going to say, instead of paying you back in money, I propose to pay you back in wheat. And later on he says, when he says, I want the wheat, it's gone up in price, okay, I propose to pay you back in wine. Maybe this business of drops of wine or whatever would only work in that case. But not necessarily in the case of, borrowing money. Fine. We said in the mission of the Hillel Oyser that Hillel says it's Oyser to borrow sa even when he has the sa available. And he said the same thing as far as borrowing a loaf of bread. So Omer of Nachman, Omer Shmuel, Halacha Kedivna Hillel. The Halacha is in fact like Hillel. However, the Gemara said later, Amiroyim said, the Halacha is not in fact like that. The Halacha is like the Tanakama that you can borrow when you have it available and just not accessible at the moment because you don't have the key. And then within that, Tosfos says the halacha would be like Rabbi Yitzchak, that you don't even need to have unlike Rav Huna, you don't even need to have the full amount in your possession, as long as you have some of it is good enough. Now, the Mishnah had said, V'chein ho'ya hilul oimu l'tuv v'isha v'chula. The Mishnah had said that similarly, a woman can't lend a loaf of bread to the other unless we figure out the value, so that she makes sure when she pays back the bread, when she gives back the loaf of bread, it's not worth more, and if so, then we would have to prorate it accordingly. So, Omer of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Zud divrei hilul. Again, you should know, this is only according to hilul. Avacham amim loivim stam, odim stam. The Chum say that when it comes to neighbors, they can borrow bread and other basics like that. They can just borrow stam and pay back stam, and we don't care even if it's worth more. We don't care if it's even worth more because the Chum are not going to be so. So there's this whole thing of sub sub is only an isu dirabanan, and the Chum are not going to be makbir on such small on such small amounts. There's discussion among the poskim about whether that means that it would be mutter even if they don't actually have it on hand, you know, mice and macholia, and people borrow, for example, people borrow a tack of bread or milk or mayonnaise or what have you from their neighbor, and they return back a larger amount, and there isn't yeshloi, because if they had available, they wouldn't be borrowing right now. Because they're not makbid, and therefore such a thing is not really considered ribs. So the Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, and here's another din that's relevant to this. Bnei chavura hamakpidin zal zeh. If you have a bunch of people, one group, whether it's Rashi explains they may be traveling together or they may be living together, and each one is responsible for their own food. So like roommates, let's say, or whatever, hamakpidin zal zeh. If they are makpid on one another, and they're not moichel even on small amounts. So when one of them lends the other, some commodity, one of them is short a certain thing one day, and he borrows from something from the other one, and the other one is going to be makpid, you have to give me back the exact amount. Then Rabbi Yehuda points out in the name of Shmuel, there can be a number of isurim that they're going to be over on if they're not careful. Over mishum mida, they're going to be over on the isur of measuring on Yom Tov. Because on Yom Tov, you're allowed to. Now, for example, you can tell somebody on Yom Tov. You can even go to a storekeeper on Yom Tov, for example, and tell him, I have this keli. I need you to fill it up for me. And after Yom Tov, we'll figure out how much it was, and we'll deal with them, and we'll deal with the matter of payment then. But right now, on Yom Tov, of course, we're not going to deal with actual measurements and actual payments. But if they're machbid on one another, then you have a problem. So it can mean one thing. It can mean that they're going to actually mention, instead of just saying, I need some milk, let's say, or whatever, they're going to say, I need exactly a cup of milk, because they're being makbid on one another. So therefore they're mentioning the amount of a middah, which is a cup, for example. Or another possibility is you have a detail that mentions in a Mishnah in Beitza, you can have, for example, a keli that's known to hold a certain amount, let's say, you know, a pint or a gallon or whatever, and he says, fill this up for me, and that's also tantamount to mentioning the actual amount, because it's obvious that he means the actual amount that this keli measures. So now, if they're makbid on one another, they're going to end up being over on that on Yom Tov. Umishka Mishkol, and similarly, when it comes to weighing, you're not allowed to weigh things on Yom Tov. Because they're makban on one another, they're going to end up weighing it with scales, or even weighing it, or even weighing it by hand. You have some people people who do this kind of thing for a living get familiar with the weight of things just by holding them in their hand. So again, they're going to end up being over on that on Yom Tov. Umishum minyan, and you're going to have the problem of counting out on Yom Tov, where sometimes that can be an issue as well. Tosfos discusses a few possibilities. One, Rabbein Hananel says, let's say, for example, imagine, for example, on Yom Tov, you go to a store, again, because you find that you're short of nuts for your Yom Tov meal, so you go to a friendly storekeeper, and you tell him that you want to arrange to, you want to get some nuts from him on credit. So you tell him, for example, I need 20 nuts. Now that in and of itself is not a problem. I need 20 means give me exactly 20. I don't need more or less. But if he were to say, for example, that so let's say again, this is Bnei Chavura over here. We're going to say, for example, that you're going to take 20, and in return, I'm going to take 20. So that's a problem of trading on Yom Tov, and therefore that's also another example. Would be another example. Tosfos brings from Bahag is, for example, that he goes, let's say, and he says that. And give me 20 nuts. And meanwhile, from before, I owe you already 10 from before. So altogether now I owe you 30. So that kind of thing is a problem, because that's doing business on Yom Tov. So again, when these Bnei Chavura are being machbid on one another, then they're going to be over on that. They're going to be over on that issue of doing business on Yom Tov. There can also be similarly where he says, for example, that, I need to count down. I need to see exactly how many nuts you're taking so that I know that I can take later on the same amount. Again, this is all Mecha Homemko. This is trading and doing business on Yom Tov. So therefore, when these Bnei Chabura, as Rashi said, these fellow travelers or these roommates or whatever are doing this kind of thing, they're going to be over on Sifri Surim on Yom Tov. And there's also going to be the issue that they're borrowing and paying back on Yom Tov. Now you have like this in Lashon Kodesh. In English, we have the word lending. We have the word lending and borrowing, and we use it whether you're borrowing and lending something which you're going to return the same thing. You borrow somebody's car, for example, versus when you're borrowing or lending money or milk or what have you, where you're not paying back the same thing. In Lashon Kodesh, you have different words for them. The first kind is called she'ela. I'm shoyel your car. There's no issue with that, obviously. A car you can't on Shabbos or Yom Tov, but in other words, I could be shoyel your talus on Yom Tov, or I could be shoyel something else for you, a chair or something, where I'm going to give back the same chair. But halva, which is, for example, I'm borrowing money from you, or I'm borrowing milk from you, let's say, or whatever, and I'm going to pay back, that would be usur on Yom Tov. So now if these people are machbid on one another, they're going to use the word loiva, which means therefore that therefore they're going to be over on that issue of doing business on Yom Tov. Tosfos actually brings an explanation that all the other things, Midah, Mishkel, and Minyan, were not necessarily. Now here we say the last thing we say the Yomtiv. Tosfos understands and so do many Mefarshim that the Yomtiv goes on all four of them. The Midah, the Mishkel, the Minyan, and the Loiv and the Purim is all an issue on Yomtiv. Tosfos brings an explanation which is actually from the Ravid that says that the first three are talking even on weekdays. What we mean is, in other words, if they're not careful to measure out the exact amount or whatever, they may be over on the issue of Gezel because they're so mapped on one another. But Tosfos says that no, the whole thing is talking specifically on Yom Tov. Okay, and he finishes off with Kedivrei Hillel, and if you follow Hillel's opinion in our Mishnah, Af Mishum Ribis, then there's an issue of Ribis involved as well, because again, Hillel is saying that even when you're lending out a loaf of bread, you have to make sure that you're paying back a loaf of bread, which is not worth any more, because again, otherwise, according to him, it's Ribis. So now, Rabbi Hoda is pointing out that by the same token, if you have these people are so mapped on one another, then therefore you may end up with that problem as well, that when he gives back a loaf of bread, it's going to be worth slightly more, and therefore it's going to be Ribis. Okay, so in other words, the bottom line is don't be so machbid on one another, and then therefore you won't have these issues. So, in fact, Tosfos discusses that on the face of it then, so does that mean that Hillel was saying it's usur only when they're machbid? Does that mean that Hillel would allow it when they're not machbid? But on the other hand, in the Mishnah, he didn't make such a distinction. No, actually, Tosfos says not necessarily. Hillel's din may really apply even when the people are not makbid, but nevertheless, Rabbi Hoda is mentioning over here, Rabbi Hoda is mentioning over here specifically when they're makbid, because you could say that, the Chum are going to be makbid, even if they're makbid, because even people who are makbid are not going to be moichah on such a thing, whereas Hillel would say that not. More dinim in this connection about Ribis. The Amr of Yehuda Amashmol, Tamar Chachamim Mutorim Lewis Zemi Zebi Ribis. Tamar Chachamim are allowed to borrow from one another with Ribis. My timer, why would that be? May the Yadi de Ribis Asura, because Tamar Chachamim know perfectly well that Ribis is Osir. Umatona, who diyal vuadadi, it's just they're giving a present to one another. And therefore, so that's not a problem. They're not infringing on the Isser of Ribis with that. Now, it's not so simple. First of all, is the aloha like that? So first of all, Tosfos says anyway that it would only be allowed only if they're giving a small amount of the kind where anyway he would have given him anyway. So, in other words, in order for it to be a mutter, you'd have to have two criteria. It would have to be that they're Tamar Chachamim and that it's a small amount where anyway they would give such small amounts to one another anyway. As far as what the halacha is, there are Rishonim who say that such a thing is allowed, and they can even make that up when the loan is given, as long as it's a small amount. But again, even then, the Ramah brings that still even Tamar Chachamim shouldn't do it very often because other people are going to learn from them. On the other hand, the Rambam brings, and then the Machaber brings accordingly, that it means that when he pays back, he can pay back with an extra amount. Not that they make up to begin with. You're going to pay me an extra amount back, but rather when the Tamar Chacham is returning the loan, he can voluntarily throw in something extra. And again, it would have to be a small amount. So we have an example. For example, Shmuel says to Avu about Ihi, and both of them were Tamar Chachamim. Shmuel says, Halveni saw Pilplin, Halveni Meya Pilplin, the Meya of Eshrim Pilplin, lend me 100 peppers, and the agreement will be 120 will be returned. But Arich, and it's fine to do that. Because again, it's considered a Matana, it's not considered Ribis. Rashi brings the word Arich, we find in Tanakh, we find in Sefer Ezra, that Arich means proper. So it's proper, it's acceptable to do that. Now, the Rishonim who learn the Hagoris Oshri and the Tur and the other Rishonim who learn that you're allowed to arrange it in the first place would say that that's what it means. In other words, that Shmuel is telling them to begin with, I'm going to return you 120 and it's fine, it's perfectly fine to do that. the Rambam, who says that you can't arrange it in advance, then the Rambam would understand, the Taz explains that the Rambam would say that the Ba'arich means if I feel like it. So I'm not saying that I'm going to necessarily return the extra 20, I'm not going to necessarily give you the extra 20, but Ba'arich, but it's up to me. If I feel like it, then I will do that. And therefore, so that would be mutter because he didn't commit to it at the beginning. Then there are Rishonim who also learn the Shita Mekubetis, brings an explanation that Ba'arich means long. So in other words, you're gonna lend me 100 regular peppers, and I'm gonna return you 120 longer than normal ones. So again, either it means that he's committing to in advance. And either it means he's committing to in advance, and that would be allowed according to somebody showing him, or he's not committing in advance. He's saying, if I feel like it, then I might do that. And the Ramban, in fact, explains the reason why it might work is because Shmuel would say, you know what, it's beneath my cupboard to go and count out specifically. I'm going to give you whatever it comes out to. I'm going to take a random amount of peppers and return it to you. And if it turns out that some of them are longer than the other ones, and if it turns out that they're more than the expected number, then fine, it doesn't really matter. In any case, the Ramban says that actually when the Gemara is going to end up saying that it's not a good, that you're not supposed to do this, on the face of it, that statement of the Gemara is going to apply to the next din, but the Ramban holds it applies to this one as well. So you have different opinions among the Rishonim, in short, what exactly is allowed here between Shimon and Chachamim. Is it not allowed at all? Is it allowed only if they didn't prearrange it? Or is it allowed even if they prearrange it? Okay. Another din, the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav. A person is allowed to lend out to his children or other people who are members of his family. He's allowed to lend them at ribis, in order to give them the taste of ribis. Let them realize how good it is to receive ribis, and then when they hold back from it, then they'll get a greater schar from Hashem, because now they're holding themselves back from something that they know is really enjoyable. But the Gemara says, "V'lav milsi." That's not correct. Mishum da'osi l'misra. The problem is that may backfire. Then they're going to get more used to the idea. They're going to say, "You know what? Ribis is a good thing. We should continue doing it." And therefore, it's not going to come out good. So again, the Ramban learns that this v'lav milsi applies to this as well as the previous din about the Tamina Chachamim. Most of the poskim hold that it applies only to the second one. So no, you can't lend your members of your household at ribis, even though you're only doing it as a matter of chinuch. Because again, it may backfire, but between Tamar HaChamim, you could make arrangements like we said before. Okay. Mishnah says, Oimo Adam Lachaveda, a person can say to somebody else, we can trade work. Nakish imi, you help me weed my field. We have to pull out the weeds that are growing in the field. You do that with me today. Va'anakish imach, and I'll do the same thing with you tomorrow. And that's not a problem of ribis, even though one might have more weeds than the other, because it's still basically the same kind of work. Or you can tell him, adur imi ve'adur imach, you hoe with me to dig around the roots of the plants to make them grow better, and I'll do the same thing with you tomorrow. And it's the same kind of work, so we're not worried about that one is a little bit harder than the other. But the lo yoma lo nakish imi ve'adur imach, but he can't tell him, you weed with me today, and I'll hoe with you tomorrow, because there are different kinds of work, and one might be harder than the other, and therefore we have a problem of agar netter that was saying, in other words, because I'm giving you a break, and not asking you to come do the same work with me today, therefore I'm willing to do heavier work, and therefore that would be a problem of ribis. So even though no money is exchanging hands, but you still have an issue of ribis just for the work being traded for the work. Or a dirt evening, a nakashima, or the other way around. You hoe with me, and I'll weed with you. So you have the problem that, again, one of them might be harder than the other. And then therefore, again, you have the problem of agar netter. So the Mishnah continues, how do we define this? all the dry season is considered one for this purpose. So in other words, for example, so we can say, for example, you read with me today and I'll read with you tomorrow. We said that's mutter throughout the whole dry season. Then sipa thing is mutter, even though you're going to have one day is slightly longer than the other. If we say, for example, you read with me today and I'll read with you on the same day of the week, a week from now, the day is going to be slightly longer. Isn't that a problem of it? No, because people aren't makbid on such things. Similarly, and all the days of all the rainy season are considered one for this purpose. But you can't say, for example, you help me plow during the dry season, and I'll plow, and I'll help you plow, and I'll help you plow during the wet season, because then that may be harder work. It's harder to plant and it's harder to plow in the mud, and therefore it's going to be considered you have agar netter over here. The Ravid points out two reasons. First of all, because it's muddy, the cow's feet are going to sink into the mud. You use cows or oxen or whatever to hit your plow up to. They're going to have a harder time keeping their footing in muddy conditions. Another point is also, he says, that in muddy conditions, once the animals get their footing, you're going to be able to, because the ground is softer, you're going to get more furrows plowed. In the same area, you're going to be able to turn over more of the earth. So therefore, that's also an issue that you have ribbis over there. So that would be an issue. But to do it all within the same season is not a problem, even though some of the days are longer, even though some of the days are a little bit longer than others. Rav Gamliel, the Mishnah continues, Rav Gamliel says, Yesh ribis mukdemis for yesh ribis mukheris. There can be such a thing as early ribis and late ribis. Now, even though midaraisa ribis is only a problem when you arrange it at the time of the loan. I'm lending you 100, you're gonna pay me back 110. But here we're saying, Rav Gamliel is saying, that you also have, there can be where you give ribis in advance, and that would also be usur, and where you give ribis later on, and that would be usur. Ketzad, nothing ain't of Lulis Himenu. If Reuben is planning to borrow money from Shimon, so he sends him a gift in advance, and he says, I'm giving you this present in advance in order that this way later on you'll be willing to lend me the money. Zuri Ribis Mukdemis. So that would be Uri Ribis, and that would be also. Similarly, Lovahimenu, if previously he had borrowed money from him, the Hechzulayas Ma'arisav, and he'd already paid him back. And he sends him money, and he says, "B'shvil ma'usecha, so you pay this back. I'm giving you this present because there was a period of time when your money was sitting by me and you weren't able to use it." Zui ribus mu'cheres. That kind of thing would be ribus mu'cheres, and it would also be also. Now there are details that the poskim say on that. I mean, you're not going to say if he sends him something 5 years later, that's going to be an issue. But, in particular, the poskim talk about that, would it actually only be a problem only if he specifies, only if he actually says that I'm doing it in connection with the loan, or would it be, for example, even if he doesn't say it, then maybe it would be also as well. So then you would have, is it something that actually has to do with the loan as well? For example, where they were regularly before that giving each other gifts, and that's not necessarily going to be a problem now that he's doing something, because he's not doing anything new that he wasn't doing before. But if, for example, he never gave him this kind of thing before, and now all of a sudden he's going to give him, then even without specifying, it might be an issue. The Mishnah continues, Rav Shimon Omer, yesh ribis dvarim. There can even be a ribis of words. For example, the loiva would not be allowed to say to the malva,
you should know, Pliny came from such and such a place, meaning, in other words, that he's going to do the malva a favor and give him information that the malva will find useful. So that would be a problem of ribis dvarim, where he wouldn't necessarily have done it otherwise. There's a couple of other explanations what it means. One is that the da ish pliny can actually be that there's a slightly different gear, so da im ba ish pliny mimakim pliny, which would be the other way around. It would be the malva says to the loiva, now that I've lent you money, in return for that, be on the lookout, and when this guy comes to town, inform. So that would also be ribis dvarim. The Rambam says a variation on that. The Rambam says that he might say, for example, listen, when this guy comes to town, I want to make sure he's well taken care of, so you make sure to know when he's coming to town so that you can take good care of him and give him food and drink. So all that, Reb Shimon says, would be an example of ribis dvarim. Mishnah says, the Elu Oven Veloisa said, now the following people who are going to be involved in a transaction involving ribis are over on a loisa. So Hamalva, the Malva himself, who lends out the money, Vahaloiva, the Loiva is also over, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Vahaoriv, actually we're not in the Gemara, we're going to see it right here in the Mishnah. Vahaoriv, the Orev is going to be over as well, because he's being an Orev on a loan that involves ribis. Vahaedim, and the Edim as well. The sofer who writes out the shtar is also going to be a lav. Is also going to be over on a lav. What lavim are we talking about? Over in mishum lo sitin, there's an iser to not give your money with ribis, meaning to lend out. So the malva is over on the iser of not giving his money at ribis. Or mishum al tikach meitoi, and he's over on the iser of don't take ribis from the loiva. He's also over on the iser to not act like a creditor towards the loiva, because when a person lends at ribis, then that iser is a more general one. In general, as the Gemara is going to say, when you lend somebody money, you're not allowed to harass him for the payment. But here when there's ribis involved, then there's going to be on top of that, he's also over on that as well. Because usually when he lends him at ribis, then he's going to be pressuring him to pay. So he's over on that as well. Or Mishum Veloisa Simun Olav Neshech. He's also over on the Isser to not place Neshech on him, which is that, so it means, in other words, to arrange Neshech in advance is also, Or Mishum Velifne Ivalosit and Mishra, Vierasem Alekech, Ani Hashem. And because the Pasuk says, don't put a stumbling block in front of this, in last week's parasha, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, and you should fear Hashem, you should fear your God. I am Hashem, meaning, in other words, that the loiva in particular is being over on that because he's causing the malva to do an iser by taking ribis. So we're going to see in the Gemara who's over on which ones of all these isurim that we're dealing with over here. Why the Bepashtus, the Mishnah, could have just brought the words v'lisne ivel and sit in mechsho Bepashtus, it brings the end, the eresim alakecha, ani Hashem, in order to finish the perek on a good note. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. We said in the Mishnah that there's such a thing, Reb Shimon had said there's such a thing as Ribis Dvarim. So the Gemara brings, Tanya, Reb Shimon Yechoy Yomer. There's even more detail in that. Minayin Lenosha B'chaveri Mona. How do we know that if a person is owed a mona by somebody else, the Einer Roger Lahakim Loisholim, and until now the loiva has not regularly said hello to him, now he's not allowed to go and start initiating a greeting with him, a greeting of Shalom, because he lent him money. Therefore, the pasuk says, Neshech, of anything, of any dover, of any, literally means any word, Asher Yishach, of which there can be Neshech, which implies, after the Dibur Asur, so even a speech of Ribis is Asur. So now the post can do bring in this connection that you have an issue also when you borrow money from somebody, are you allowed to say thank you afterwards? So in fact, the Alter Rebbe brings, when he brings Hilchos Ribis, says, now you're not allowed to thank him or give him a bracha or anything. So you have a good deal of discussion among Achronim, what is it exactly that he would or wouldn't be allowed to say? So the Moshe says, well, the Moshe Feinstein has in one of his Chuvas, he says, you wouldn't be allowed to say thank you, but you would be allowed to say Tizkila Mitzvahs, because that's not a thanks. And Reb Shlomo Zalman points out it the other way around, that Tizkila Mitzvahs is a real bracha. So, as opposed to thank you, is just showing you're not ungrateful. That would be an issur. And there's a lot of discussion about what exactly you'd be allowed to. One thing is, nowadays that people say thank you for all kinds of things, even things that don't really deserve. Let's say, just somebody hold the door open for you or whatever. Maybe there would be less of an issue with that. And you have various other points that they discuss about details within that. Okay. We said in the mission of the Eva Oivrin, we listed all the loisa says that are involved with Ribis. So Omer Abaye Malva Oivr B'Kolan. The Malva is over on all of these Isurim that we mentioned in the Mishnah. You have when they arranged the Ribis, we have when he actually took the Ribis, we have that he was causing Lifnei Ivel Lisit and Michshol, because he's causing the loiva to be over on the issue of giving Ribis, and so on and so forth. So Abaye says all of these Isurim would apply to all the when the Malva is lending at Ribis, he's being over on all these Isurim. So that's it. Loiva over mishum. The loiva is over only on some of them. Mishum lo sashich lachicha. He's saying he's being over on you. You're not allowed to cause neshech to the other person, meaning that you're not allowed to pay neshech. You're not allowed to pay ribis. And lachicha lo sashich. You have another mitzvah in the Torah that says to your brother, to your fellow yid, you should not give ribis. So this one was missing in the Mishnah, actually. So we have altogether, there are six lavim involved. The Mishnah had listed only five of them. Here we have another one, because the Mishnah was listing only ones that are relevant to the Malva. This one of Lachicha Lois Sashich is applicable only to the Loiva. And the Lifnei Iver, Lois Sitin Mishnah, and the Loiva is over on Lifnei Iver, because he's causing the Malva to be over. Oriv and the Ha'edim ain't over him. Elamishum loisa simun olav neshach. The Oriv and the Edim are over only on the issue of loisa simun olav neshach, because they're causing ribis to be given. Tosfos points out that actually sometimes they could be over on Lifnei Iver as well, if there wouldn't have been a loan without them. You could have, where the guy is not willing to lend out money without there being an Oriv, or without there being Edim. So in that case, then, if it weren't for them, there wouldn't be a halva. And in that case, then they're being over on that as well. But if there were other potential Arevim and Edim available anyway, and it's just they happen to be the one who does it, then they're not really so over on Lifnei Iver. It's called an halacha Trei Every Nara versus Chad Avra Denara. You have, for example, imagine a classic case. It talks about an Avra Dezara. Imagine, for example, that you have a Nazir on one side of a river, and you're on the other side, and the Nazir has no wine on his side, and you hand him across the river a cup of water, then you're over on Lifnei, a cup of wine, I mean, then you're over on Lifnei Iver, because without you, he wouldn't have been able to do the Avera. As opposed to, if he has wine available on his side, then even if you didn't give it to him, he could have taken it himself, so therefore you're not over. So in a similar vein, over here, Tosfos points out, it's going to depend really, was there another Orev, or were there other Edim available? So when we say in the Mishnah that there are five Isurim, there are actually six, and the Malva is going to be over on five out of the six of them, and the Loiva is going to be over on three, and the Orev on one, and possibly two. The Rambam actually phrases it a little differently. The Rambam, in fact, says the Malva is, in fact, over on all six of them. So, a little bit of a gadta on the subject. Tanya Rav Shimon over. Malva Ribis, Yosef Mashem Arvichim Mapsid. People who lend out at Ribis, they think they're profiting from it. Even more than they're profiting, they're actually losing, because they're losing out, because they're going to be punished very severely by Hashem. We learned earlier in the parent, even in this world, we said that they end up losing their whole fortune. Beloy oid, not only that, El Shemesimim Moshe Rabbeinu Chocham v'Terase Emes. Not only that, but they're acting like Moshe Rabbeinu is a Chocham and his Torah is Emes, which on the face of it is a euphemism, meaning that there's a Braisa and Tosefta that actually says that way, that it means they're acting as though Moshe is not wise and as though the Torah is not true. Namely, because they're saying, they're saying, you know what, you know why Moshe put in the Torah that there's an issue of Dibbis? Because if he had known how much profit you could make from it, then he never would have written this mitzvah in the Torah in the first place. So they're pretending as though Moshe didn't know what he's talking about, and as though the Torah doesn't know what it's talking about. And on top of that, of course, they're also denying that the Torah is given by the Eibishter and is not Moshe Rabbeinu's own idea. That's the simple meaning of it, although Marsha has an interesting take on it. He says that actually it can mean, literally, when we say Yosef Mashem Avichem Mapsidim, he says we're not talking about that they lose in the fact that Hashem is going to punish them. It means when a person is taking ribbis, he may rationalize it to himself and say, you know what, look, the other guy's making a profit, especially if we have an Iska over here, like we talked about earlier in the paradox, he's making a profit, why shouldn't I be entitled to part of that profit? And the answer is, we tell them, you should realize that after all, it's very possible that they don't gain, they may end up losing, and then you're taking from him more in percentage, more in interest than what he gained. He may have had a loss, and you're not paying him for his work, like we learned earlier in the parent, we're supposed to do, and therefore, so you're thinking, you're sharing in his profits, but really not, he had a loss, and you ought to take that in consideration, and then, this business about Moshe Rabbeinu Chochem, the Teros Emes, Marashal says, doesn't have to be a euphemism. It means that he's actually saying, yeah, Moshe is smart, and the Torah is true, but Moshe is only a Chochem. He's not a Navi to realize that it's always going to be this way. Moshe is saying, on average, this is how it is, that you shouldn't take ribbis. But there were always exceptions to the rule, and this is one of those exceptions, and we're telling him that, no, it's not so. Realize Moshe is not just a Chochem who came up with the mitzvahs and the Torah on his own. He's a Navi, and therefore, and he's only saying over what Hashem dictated to him, and therefore it's always across the board, and you can't start thinking that there are any exceptions. You have the expression in Hayom Yom, you have the expression that there's two kinds of laws. You have laws that come from life, you have practical experience, where through that various wise goyim come up with laws for their countries, and then you have, on the other hand, the Torah creates life, that the Torah is Chochmasa, the Tzorin Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not based on practical experience, it's based on that Hashem knows this is how it has to be. So here, this guy is claiming, the way Marashah understands our Gemara over here, he's claiming that Torah is the first kind of law, and really we know it's the second. Gemara continues, Ki Osir of Dini, when Rav Dini came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained, Minayim Lenoshe B'Chaverim Mona. How do we know? We talked about in the Mishnah, we had one of the Yisurim was Loisiyah Loikinoshe, don't act like a creditor against the person who owes you money. Now, we mentioned it in connection with Ribis, but Rav Dini says it actually has more general applicability. Minayim Lenoshe B'Chaverim Mona. How do we know that if a person is owed a money by somebody else, V'yedeya She'en Loi, and he knows the other guy doesn't have what to pay back. Also, lava the fun of, you're not even allowed to walk in front of him, and because then he's going to see you and he's going to be embarrassed and he doesn't have what to pay. A time of blame. I see you like Kenosha. Therefore, the pasuk says, don't be like a creditor to him. Don't show yourself to him where he's going to be embarrassed and you know that he doesn't have what to pay. Meaning, in other words, okay, take him to Beis Din if you have to, but you can't go and embarrass him like that. Interesting point is, what if you're not sure? So then there may not be an issue in it. Says the Rambam, and says the Shulchan Aruch, although the Minchas Sinuch says that maybe there would be, maybe it's a Suffolk Issur Torah, and you should be Machna. And there's an interesting letter from the Rebbe, where it said back in the early Tuf Shins, when the Rebbe was in charge of Pahos, among other things, and there was this fellow that they had sent him Sfarim, and then the Rebbe was nudging him for payment, and the guy wrote back saying, aren't you being over on Loisiyah LeKenosha? And the Rebbe writes back a letter pointing out that there's a number of reasons why that doesn't apply over here, one of them being that it's not a law. Okay. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Rab Ami and Rab Asi, Da'amu Tavai, Rab Ami and Rab Asi both say that when a person does that, when he acts like a creditor and goes in front of the guy and embarrasses him, ki ilu donei b'shnei dinin. It's as if he's judging and punishing the person with two kinds of harsh punishment. The pasuk says, "Yukavta enish l'reshenu." You've made people wide over our heads, and the word "reshenu" can also darshen as meloshen rosha, which is an Aramaic word which means a lender, which means a lender and a borrower, which means a debt. Bonu va'esh v'mayim. We've come through fire and water. And the fire and water, Marsha points out, we learned earlier, and then in the previous paddock, we have the case where a person is embarrassed, where the blood rushes to his face and then drains out, which is like fire and then like water. So in other words, so we see the harshness of it and how a person should be careful not to do that. Another din, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Komi Sheyesh Lemois, when a person has money, or Malva Oisim, Shaloi Be'edim, if he lends it out without Edim, over Mashum Lifnei Iver Loisif Nichshol, then he's over on Lifnei Iver, because now it makes it possible for the Loiva to deny the whole thing. But Rish Lakish Shama, Gurim Klolal Atzma, Rish Lakish says on top of that, the Malva is causing himself a curse. Shenemar, as opposed to Te'olam Nasifse Shaker, may the mouths of the, may the lips of falsehood be muted and closed up. Hadur Rasal Tzadik Osak, which speak Osak against the Tzadik. Osak has a couple of meanings. It can mean something that, it can mean something, it means something false. It can mean something false, or it can mean something harsh. Rashi brings both explanations on the Pasuk and Tillim. In any case, the point is, in other words, what happens is that here you have people are going to think that, what do you mean that guy owes you money? You have no edim or whatever for it. So, and he's denying it. So you're claiming that he owes you money. Then you're a liar, and you're accusing a tzaddik for no good reason. And therefore people are going to end up cursing the malva for that. Whereas if you had edim, then he'd be saying, look, I have edim. So yes, I have a legitimate reason to be demanding this money. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Omer le Rabbanan le Ravashi, Kamakayim Ravina Komad Omer Rabban. You should know, they said to Ravashi, Ravina keeps everything that the Chachamim said. So Ravashi decided to test him out. Shalach le Bahadu Panya de Male Shabbos. He sent him very shortly before Shabbos a message, Lishto di Mara, Sora Zuzi, can you please send me as a loan 10 Zuzim, the Isram le Ketina de Aral Mizban, that came up just now, a small plot of land to buy, and I want to use the money to buy. So he figured, Ravina, it's shortly before Shabbos, Ravina is not going to have the time to deal with writing out a document and getting edim and all that. Sholach Le, Ravina sent back, no, Nesim Mar Sadi V'Nichtav Ksava, please bring edim and let's write out a document and then I can lend you the money. Sholach Le, Apilu Anon Nami. So Ravashi sends him back a message, me also, are you suspecting that I would deny the loan later on? Ravina sent back a message. On the contrary, it's more so with you, Ravashi. You toted the girse. You're so busy with your Torah learning, Mishla. You may end up forgetting that you ever borrowed the money. But Gerdim, call or ask me, and then you're going to cause a curse on me because again, you're going to have that. Like we said before, later on, I'm going to ask you for the money back, and you may have forgotten altogether. And people are going to say, obviously, that Tzadik Ravashi would never deny a loan knowingly, and therefore Ravina must not be telling the truth, and therefore Ravina is saying, and this is talk about halacha, that you always have to be careful with such things. After this, I guess when we're talking about, you know, somebody says, lend me a dollar or whatever, we're not talking about that, because you're moichel on it, you don't get back the dollar. But we're talking about here, we're talking about a significant amount of money. So the Gemara finishes off. There are three cases where a person cries out and they don't get answered. Rashi explains it means in Beis Din Shalmata. They're going to go to Beis Din with a complaint, and Beis Din is going to say, I can't really help you. There are Rishonim who learn the Shittim Kubetzis brings that it may even mean in Beis Din Shalmaila as well, that Hashem is not going to even take his side because, look, you caused this problem for yourself. The first one, when a person has money and he lends it out without edim, like we just said, then that the other guy can deny the loan and he has no recourse. When a person acquires a master for himself, we're going to explain in a minute what that means. And the third one, and a man whose wife dominates him. Meaning, in other words, so now let's say, for example, her ksuba is very large and he can't afford to pay off her ksuba, and therefore that's his problem to begin with, that he took on himself such an obligation. So in all those cases, there's nothing that anybody can do for him. Now, what's koina odin la'atzmai, Maihi? What's this koina odin la'atzmai? Ikadami toil nechasa benachri. One explanation is it means when he says that his money belongs to a goy. So he claims, Rashi says that this money that I'm using for my business actually belongs to Pliny the goy, and I'm only working as his agent. Now, he may want to do that in order that people shouldn't know that he's rich. Meanwhile, what's going to happen? The goy is going to overhear that he says that, and the goy is going to arrange for false edim and go take him to court, go take him to goyish court and say, listen, you yourself admitted that this money belongs to me, so therefore give it to me. And now the guy is in real trouble. There are a few other possibilities that are the Ritva brings up another possibility. Now, let's say he takes his money and deposits it with a guy in order that, for example, he doesn't want that another yid should be able to, let's say, for example, he doesn't want that his family should be able to get a hold of that money. Meanwhile, again, the guy may deny the thing altogether or abscond with it, or whatever. So that's koina odun la'atzmai. So therefore, so now he comes to Beis Din, or even he comes maybe to the Beis Din Shamayla to complain, and there's nothing much that anybody can do for him. And so that's one version. Ikadamia, Kosik Nachosav, Labona Bachayev, others say that Takona Odom La'atzmai means when he writes out a document while he's alive that he's giving away his Nachosim to his children. So now he may not have what to live off of afterwards, and his children may not have as much Rachmanus on him. There's a famous expression that says that one father will support 10 children, but 10 children will not always support one father. So therefore, he's Koina Odom La'atzmai, he's like he's made himself, that he's made his children masters over him, and who knows what may happen by that. The Ikadami, and the third version is the Bishle Baham Mosa, but like Ozil Mosa Akrina. If he's having a bad time of it in one city, and he doesn't go and move to another city, like this, Mishana Mokim, Mishana Mazel, and Shinui Mokim is one of the things that rips up his Gzaudin, and then makes it that Hashem will treat him differently, because now, like in effect, he's starting a new life, and he's going away from the other things that he was doing until now that caused him to not be so well off. But now, in other words, he doesn't bother doing that. He just stays put and deals with it. So now there's nobody really that can help him. Why is it called Koina Odom La'atzmai? So Marsha says it's not really. It belongs to the Tzurik and the Enen. And when the Gemara says the Ikad Amri is not referring to this is another explanation of Koina Odom La'atzmai. We only had the two, involving the Goy, involving when he writes out the document to his children. Rather, the Gemara is finishing over here that you should know another example of Tzurik and the Enen is when a person doesn't take the initiative to move to some place where he'll have better mouth. That's according to Maharsha. On the other hand, the Chassam Sofer says that you can also call it Koina Odom La'atzmai. Like this, a person is under the influence of a certain mazel, of a certain sar, a certain malach in one place, and if he moves to a different place, he'll be under a different mazel, and he chooses to stay under the first one, so therefore he's Koina Odom La'atzmai. He's like keeping a master, he's keeping his master of his bad mazel over here, rather than taking the initiative to go to some place where he'll have a better time of it, with Mishana Mokka, Mishana Mazel. Hadron Aloch Ezo Nesha.